Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Organto Foods, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OGO, and now traded on the OTCQB under the symbol OGOFF. That OTCQB listing just came live about mid-January of this year. We are chatting with the co-CEO and chairman, Steve Bromley. To bring everybody up to speed, Organto is an integrated provider of branded, private label, and distributed organic and non-GMO fruit and vegetable products, mostly focused in Europe, but there have been some acquisitions, especially last year, that continue to build out the company's reach in terms of products and also build out their product offerings. We have chatted to Steve throughout 2021 to outline some of those acquisitions and the continued growth that the company is seeing. But Steve, we wanted to get you back on early this year, first and foremost, to talk about the closing of another acquisition, Zimbabwe Marketing Services. This acquisition was announced in November of last year and was just closed February 7th, earlier this week. That brings acquisitions for 2021 to a total of 3 just for the year. Again, all helping to grow out the company's reach and product lines. Steve, take us through the Zimbabwe Marketing Services acquisition, but also tying that into the corporate strategy of how you're continuing to grow this company.
For sure. Thanks, Corey, and good to be chatting with you again. As you mentioned, we did close 3 acquisitions last year. This is a reminder, earlier in 2021, we acquired a company called Fresh Organic Choice, which was in branded fresh cut organic herbs. Business has done really, really well. In November, we also acquired a company called B Organic, which was an asset-light business model, very similar to ourselves, focused on bananas. And then in late November, we acquired a company called Zimbabwe Marketing Services. We referred to it as ZMS. We've known ZMS for quite some time. The attraction for us was they had depth in sourcing in product categories that we're already in. So they're into raspberries, snow peas, sugar snaps, and other soft fruits and vegetables. So it was very complementary to what we were sourcing from various or originations around the world. What we really, really liked about ZMS is the team that they had on the ground in Zimbabwe and in other African countries. We see Africa as a huge opportunity for sourcing and supply into the European market. So it was a great fit with us. With the closure of ZMS, you know, we end up with boots on the ground on 4 continents, so North America, South America, Europe, and then as well in Africa. And so that's really key as you're sourcing from around the globe. And of course, sourcing is so important to us because at the end of the day, you can't further process and value add to product that you don't have. So you need the growers. And so they brought those deep growing relationships in Africa. So really, really pleased. All 3 of the acquisitions that we completed last year were EBITDA positive and growing and added to our capabilities. All were acquired within the objectives that we set for the acquisition of companies. You know, being a combination of cash, equity, and Organto, and then earnouts. And they all brought really good people to the team, which is important. So pleased to have those 3 done. And we have a nice pipeline of other opportunities. So you should expect to see us continue to push forward from an acquisition point of view.
Okay, so continuing to use acquisitions to grow the company, but one thing you mentioned there with Zimbabwe Marketing Services is it is giving you some exposure to Africa as well. As I mentioned on the start here, is that company was initially focused more in Europe, I believe, but now we are starting to see that diversification. How is that going to help the company move forward, having a few more, at least geographical locations that you distribute to, that you deal with, that you have a role in?
Right. So, you know, there's really 2 aspects to that, Corey. One is from a sourcing point of view, and the other is from a go-to-market point of view. So the bulk of what ZMS will do is source product out of African growing regions so that we can distribute to our core European market. They also do have some marketing capabilities into South Africa, which is a smaller part of the platform, but certainly something that we think we can leverage over time. So, you know, we've talked about our business model. Today, we're actively going to market on a regular basis in 18 countries in Europe. We also do a bit of work in the United States, and obviously we'll do a little bit of work now into South Africa. But the major benefit that ZMS brings to us is that sourcing and supply capability. And, you know, with COVID-19, it's geographically closer to our core European go-to-market locations than, say, South America, which, you know, it is much further away. So we really, really like it. And over time, you know, we'll continue to grow out where we source product. And then we'll also continue to grow out where we sell the value-added products at the end of the day.
Well, Steve, let's dig in a little bit to the company's policy around, you have a lot of different categories. I believe last time we talked, you had 15 different categories you're working in, but you've also got different brands, and this is key to the company. So I'd love you to unpack your brand development strategy for 2022.
Sure. I think the real key is our I Am Organic brand, and it's a brand that we launched in late Q3, well, first couple of days of Q4 of last year. And we launched the brand using a digital passport technology, and I would encourage everyone to get to our website and learn more about the digital passport technology. But the core to the underlying principle to our digital technology is today consumers want to know, where did my product come from? How did it get to me? What's the carbon footprint? What's the nutritional profile? What are recipe ideas? How can I go on social media platforms and talk to other consumers about the product? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the challenge, of course, especially in fruits and vegetables and the value-added products that we do, is there's not enough packaging to communicate all of that. And furthermore, consumers don't want a lot of packaging. But today, we all have smartphones. Everybody's got a phone in their hand. And when you watch shoppers, most people are shopping, and they have their phone in their hand. And so using QR code technology, we built out a platform where a consumer can use the QR code that's on the product and get everything that they want to know about the product. Well, I can't guarantee everything, but most everything that they want to know about the product. And so when we were launching the I Am Organic brand, we did that on the basis that we're differentiating through the digital platform technology that's developed. And so we took that to market in early Q4 of this year, really got it into the pilot phase. We launched with an online retailer, we launched with a traditional retailer, and we launched in a convenience channel. And we wanted to work those three channels over the quarter and early into 2022 to be sure that the technology was working, we knew how to harness the potential, and we were getting the results that we wanted. And it's gone very, very well. You know, and I can talk a little bit about the products and where they were launched, but it's gone really well. So we're really in the phase now of shifting from pilot to full launch. So we're really excited by it. And so I Am Organic is our lead brand. We also have the Fresh Organic Choice brand, which we acquired when we acquired Fresh Organic Choice. That brand has proven to be quite a nice brand. We've transitioned the products over to also be available under I Am Organic. And over time, you know, we'll figure out what to do with the Fresh Organic Choice brand. But in the meantime, full steam ahead with I Am Organic. It's gone really, really well. You know, and online, we launched with Gorillas, who are a really fast, up-and-coming online retailer in Europe. We started in one country. We're now in two countries. We started with three products. We're now up to 30. They're just a fabulous partner, and we're really excited by that. We also launched into NS Retail, which are all the train stations in the Netherlands. So we launched in all the kiosks there to test the convenience formats. That went really, really well until Omicron came along and most of the trains shut down for a couple of months, but that's now coming back online with 130 locations. Then we also launched in retail and it's gone well. So brands are a core strategy, and they're a core strategy because the margins are higher because of the increase in the value that we add. You know, so we earn money by adding value, and so a very, very important part to our overall strategy.
Yeah, I remember you outlining that the branded products are your highest margin, so makes sense that that does still warrant a bit of your time to launch that. But can you give us a little bit more insight into what it means to move from this pilot project with the brand launch into full launch? Do you have any general revenue estimates or any other sort of details you can share with us of what a full launch looks like for the branded products?
Yeah, so what we mean by full launch, Corey, is, for example, on the retail side, we took on a 14-unit retailer, you know, so there were 14 stores, and we put it into those 14 stores in a very measured approach, you know, into one convenience chain and into one online retailer, so that it was tightly controlled, and we were learning along with our partners that were doing that. We're comfortable now, so, you know, we're out talking to big, big global retailers about taking the brand to them. And, you know, we're no longer worried that we've got to make sure the passport technology is working or our back end is working. We know all that happens. And so it's about now moving to multiple retailers in multiple formats, similar to what you would see with a brand that's well established. So for us, full launch is, okay, retailer 1, 2, 3, 4, retail 100 and 150, this product is now available and we'd like to list it in your stores. So, you know, our goal over time is to build out a $1 billion platform. And our goal is also to have our brand be anywhere from 20 to 50% of our retail sales over time. So it's a big prize, but, you know, we're being realistic about it and taking it a step at a time.
Well, Steve, just as we look forward to 2022, what are the key news events or the key milestones that the company has on tap that you want investors to be focused on?
Well, look, I'd say three or four things to focus on. One is look for a lot of information on the rollout of our brand and our branded strategy. That is one. Look for continued acquisition activity and the growth of our platform through acquisition. Watch for growth in supply as we continue to build supply to feed our platform, and look for new products. You know, as you mentioned earlier, we have 15 products in the market today, 15 categories. So think avocado as a category, think fresh herbs as a category, et cetera. Look for us to continue to expand that one-stop shop and leverage the supply that we have to bring new value-added products to the market as well. You know, our core is fruits and vegetables. And, you know, there's the traditional way of thinking about fruits and vegetables, but think about going beyond, like, instead of thinking about us providing ginger and branded ginger, think about ginger-based products that could be out in the marketplace where we use our supply to value add ginger beverages, ginger shots, you know, all of those sort of things. So look for us to continue to, you know, add value as well as we go through the year. And again, leveraging our balance sheet, I would point out that we did a major financing in November of this year, so the balance sheet is well set up to get after all these opportunities.
Yeah, you guys did raise $14 million at the tail end of last year. Real quick, I feel like we need to bring this up before we get you out of here, Steve, but it deals with supply chains. I think everybody understands that supply chains are a mess globally when you're running a company that does depend on supply chains to get products into consumers' hands. How have you guys fared with these supply chain issues?
Well, I'd love to say that they haven't impacted us, but the reality is that we've had to work like everybody else in the food industry, well, not just the food industry, work like everybody else with the challenges of moving product around the globe. So we haven't been insulated by it. I think a couple of positives, though, is that our supply model by its nature uses multiple locations, and having that ability to pivot from location to location has been really, really important to us as we dealt with the supply chain issues. Throughout the whole pandemic, where supply chains and retail have all been turned upside down a bit, you know, we've continued to manage to post record results. 20 was a record year. 21 was a record year for us. So our business model has really helped us deal with it, and we've continued to realize the record results. But and I have lots of gray hair, so people can trust me when I say I've been in the food business for over 30 years. I've never seen supply chains as stressed as they are right now. Good news is, I think we're seeing some positivity as this latest variant makes its way through and, you know, operations start to stabilize around the globe. If you were talking to our guys, they'd say, boy, we can't wait till we get back to some form of normalcy, because, you know, if you can post record results through all of this, it'll really be fun when when stuff that's supposed to go in a container on Monday actually gets in that container on Monday. So, but overall, yeah, the supply chains are tough, but we've managed through and look forward to, you know, the stabilization that will happen, not in a short period of time, but over a long period of time. You know, we'll see these things stabilize.
Exactly. Supply chain issues will sort themselves out, but it has already taken longer than I think some people thought that it would. And hey, good for you guys for continuing to grow the business and increase your bottom line. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Steve regarding Organto Foods, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. And full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Organto Foods, and we will be following up on the back of some more news. So please, everyone, send in your questions. And Steve, keep us up to date on more news, and we will get you back on the show.
Awesome. Well, appreciate it, and look forward to chatting again soon.